Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, at BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, I'm going to talk to a deadly sister by the name of Benita Williams, a model from Cairns here, Indigenous model based here in Cairns, off to London, not this year because of COVID-19. We're talking next year, 2021. Look, fantastic. And working with designer Brianna Enoch Coleman, another deadly sister here from Cairns. And look, it's great to be talking with Benita on the line. Very good morning, my sister. How are you?
Yes, good morning, Trevor. I'm good, thanks.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Okay, I'm Benita Williams. My mob is Kuku Yalanji, Dad's Eastern Yalanji, and Mum's Western Yalanji.
Beautiful, deadly footprint there. A model you are here in Cairns, off to London. How deadly is that? Just to let you know, I've been working there. If you want me to carry your bags, I can do that for you, sister. Shut up.
Yeah, it's very excited. I can't wait. I'm scared, but yeah, excited.
Good. Now, you're working with Sister Brianna and Enoch Coleman. Tell us about how you got into modelling and how this fantastic opportunity came about.
Okay, well, I joined a modelling agency about 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've had heaps of work since then, but recently I've met with Brianna Enoch. Mm-hmm. And she shared the news with me, and yeah, after that she invited me over to go with her. I was like, yes, all right, I'm going.
Didn't have to twist your arm.
No, I'm going to London, yes, please, take me with you.
Yeah, like, come to London with us? Oh, no, I'm going to go to Bibinda Bollis for a swim. Yeah, good go. I'm going London. Big shout out, Bibinda Mob. So, look, tell us about your modelling, how it all started, and did you ever think that you were going to become a model as such, or just people just saying that, gee, you look beautiful, or I'm going to do something with this, or you thought you'd just chuck your hat in the ring, so to speak. Tell us how it all started, sis.
It all started probably in 2014. I was just the lady.
Sorry, you're breaking up there. You're breaking up there. What happened? How did it all start?
I was just shopping at at Stockland's. Mm-hmm. I was shopping for jewelry, and this lady just approached me, and she just said she liked my posture and the way I walk and the way I talk. I did not know this lady, but she was from
a white lady.
Okay. She's from Lulu's Model Management. She was running it at the time.
Lulu's Model Management, give them a big shout out, yep.
Yeah, and it took me a while. I was like really shy, really nervous, so it took me a while to actually go back to the agency and say, yeah, I'll have a go, you know.
But with that approach, did you go and talk to your family about, oh, this lady come and approach me, and how'd that conversation go?
Yeah, they were like, what? Really? Like, everyone was like, do it, Benita, just do it. Like, we've always been telling you to, you know, try modelling. Yeah. You should be a model. Yeah. But I was always too shy in high school, but now I've finally, you know, broke out of that, you know,
shyness.
Being shame all the time.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Beautiful. Good, good, good. And so you joined up with Lil, well, you went and had the conversation. So when you sign up, how does it work for young sisters and brothers out there who are looking at this industry as such? Was it a contract from the word get-go, or was it an ease, you weren't locked into anything? Tell us about how that all panned out.
So the agency was really patient with me. They waited until I was ready and confident enough to go in there. When I was, I just practiced with the girls. You know, I put the high heels on and did a few modelling grooming courses.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was for like a year or two. And then I got the confidence and I graduated up to Black Model Management.
Okay, Black Model Management. Big shout out to those guys. And who's Black Model Management?
So that was the agency that was running here in Cairns a couple of years ago, but has recently been closed down temporarily.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. The manager, Barbara Head, she's moved down to Byron Bay.
Oh, okay, right, yeah, big shout-out, Barbara Head. And so from there, and how did you come in touch with Sister Brianna and Enoch?
Just connections. I met her through Aunty Cheryl Creed.
Okay, and because Brianna's a First Nation artist and does a lot of her work on handbags and high heels. I've spoken to her many times about her beautiful company, Jarawee. And so that conversation, were you modelling her stuff, is that right?
Yes.
And then this opportunity came up to go to London.
Yep.
All right, fantastic. So to look at pics and see you in action, for our deadly mob out there tuned in to National Tall Break, you can go on Facebook and check out London Pacific Fashion Week. Okay, and be able to see the models yourself. And there's two other models travelling with you to London. Who are they?
Azariah Gutchen and Kaya Mallor.
All right, fantastic. Okay, yes. I remember seeing a shot of Kaya on Facebook, actually, but it wasn't this actual particular Facebook page, but fantastic. So you're all shooting off, that's September next year, 21?
Yes.
So what happens between here and there? Do you guys do skits here, practice here?
Share the word. And yes. Yeah, we do the practicing. We're going to do some photo shoots, and Brianna's got to get busy with her painting.
Yes, good.
And, and then we're just going to catch up and have meetings and just start getting the fun thing going, trying to get the funds together so we can make it happen.
Lovely, fantastic. Well, I'm going to make sure I get in touch with Sister Brianna, who's been on our program many times, and just talk about how it all came about regarding the trip to London for the Pacific Fashion Week 2021. Look, very good talking to you, my sister. Congratulations. And
thank you.
This is the first day of the rest of your life. I mean, doors can open up and you'll be coming back to New York, flying private jet and styling up there, my sister.
Oh, we'll see.
Sure. I'll mow your lawn, I'll wash your car, keep me in mind.
Okay. I'll remember that.
You take care, Benita. All the best to you and your family. And sister, take care and keep doing what you're doing. Stay safe and look after that beautiful figure of yours, my sis.
Thank you.
Bye, darling. Right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Adelia, Benita Williams, her name is. You might can check her out regarding London Pacific Fashion Week Facebook page. Big shout out to Brianna Enoch Coleman, who's organising the part of the trip to London in regarding her fashion and all her stuff and the work that she does, and also two models who are joining Benita over to London. So fantastic! So check that out, and beautiful black people out there, young ones out there, and looking at beautiful black old ones out there as well. I mean, like black beauty is strong with us in as First Nation people in this country. We got beauty everywhere. So fantastic to see that doors are opening up for our young ones, and that's what it's all about, you know. So have your say and yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, and talk to Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host, and I'm taking you right through 12 noon Queensland time. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416, and we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbo Brip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Too deadly.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know at BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, this week is supposed to be NAIDOC Week, but like so many other major events, NAIDOC Week has been moved to later in the year due to coronavirus. But that doesn't mean we can't still take the time to acknowledge how far we've come and how much further we need to go. Now, COVID-19 has brought changes to our homes, our lifestyles and our hygiene. Whilst most of the impact has been negative, is there a little ray of sunshine somewhere, something that may have a positive impact? To talk about this and about ear health in particular in First Nations communities, I'm joined by Violet Buskin, who's the Community Engagement Officer for the HAPPY program with Hearing Australia in South Australia. Violet, very good morning. How are you, sis?
Yeah, good.
Fantastic. Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, who your mob, where are you from?
Well, I'm a Noronga Ngarrindjeri Mimini from Adelaide, well, York Peninsula and the Coorong areas. And, yeah, I'll go through all of South Australia, bottom end here. Mostly related to most of the mob, you know how it is.
Yes,
in
yes, yes.
Yes, state.
To Delhi, beautiful footprint there. Now, first of all, what exactly is the HAPPY program and how does it work?
Well, the HAPPY program was a result of $30 million from the government, which is deadly.
Take that money.
Because, you know, it's... In Australia, we've got 49% of children hearing loss in preventable and unacceptable. It is unacceptable and preventable.
Yes.
With our Noongar kids or Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander kids.
Yes.
But the HAPPY program is 0 to 6 year olds, preschool, so we're catching the kids before they get to school, so we're going to catch speech, all that growth, early intervention stuff. So that's what we're aiming to target. And at the moment, yeah, we're doing pretty well.
Fantastic.
Especially in Queensland.
Yeah, there you go. Fantastic. Now, how big an impact has COVID-19 had on you and your role?
Well, with me, it made me stall. You know, I'm meant to travel most of, you know, most of the time, but so I can't get out at the moment, but I'm able to keep network. But the impacts is, yeah, the one-on-one's not good, but we're the good side of it is, you know, we're capturing through video link-ups and stuff like that.
So we all talk about the negative impact of COVID-19, but I want to ask you if there's been any positives to have come out of what we've been going through.
Yes, it's the, you know, the hygiene side of it. It's that constant messaging of wash your hands. This is good for us.
Yes.
And if we, you know,
continue with that, then, we can keep the so-called hearing problem at bay, yes?
Yes, we can help it.
Exactly. Yes. Do you think the improvement in everyone's hygiene during COVID-19 could possibly impact better hearing in futures is what I was alluding to with our First Nation kids, yes?
Yes.
Fantastic. And this week's supposed to be NAIDOC week, but it's now been moved to November. What improvements have you seen in hear health over the past 5 to 10 years, you could say, and how can this be improved even further and further?
I mean, I can see there's been improvement, but what we're seeing with HAPPY is there's that big gap of 0 to 6. You know, we've got to catch them before they get it, or monitor them since birth. So can you say that question again so I can just slip my mind?
I'm just saying in regard to how we're supposed to have like NAIDOC week this week, but been moved to November. Improvements have you seen in ear health over the past 5 to 10 years?
Well, there has been improvements in WA lately.
Yes.
There's silos. They're still needing to knock the silos. You know, people working in separate organisations not willing to network and cross over.
Mm.
So there's improvements there. We're knocking those silos down through this program. And we're mapping out ear health pathways within our states as we go along.
Well, it's very important we all work together, shouldn't
That's
we?
Right.
You know what I mean? The old saying, takes a community to raise a child. So everybody in the community and organisations as well, we all need to get it together. And as the phrase for COVID-19, we are all in this together. Well, we can use that regarding helping hearing for our young ones, yes?
Yes, that's right. And NAIDOC Week, I don't believe it should have been moved to November.
Mm.
It should have just been, let's go bigger and better next year.
Yeah, all right. Fair
call. Because it follows ideas, you know, it's a warm weather.
Exactly, exactly.
It's freezing in July, so, you know, fellas might look to change it, and I don't think it should be changed.
No, too deadly, sister.
Right.
Now, let's talk specifically about ear health and and hearing loss. As a community engagement officer, how do you fit within Hearing Australia's program?
What my role in Hearing Australia, how I fit, is I'm opening the doors to the communities for them.
Yes.
I'm knocking down their walls for them through my networks, my connections through communities in my state. The best engagement officers in any state are those who are connected in grassroots and are on the ground. There you can filter up, you know, the grassroots, the voices of the people, then you're getting your managers in to bring it down in from either if we're working with state government or any NGO, there's always going to be a blockage. But
And you're there to knock down those so-called blockages, those walls, yes?
I'm here to say, you know what, your fellows, this is important.
Exactly.
Our kids are falling behind in school, educate everywhere. We need this, you know.
Yes.
No matter what gatekeepers care, I'm going to go around you.
Well, lead me to my next question in regarding hearing loss in First Nation kids. Big issue. Should we be concerned?
Yes, we should.
Yes.
Very concerned. Early intervention, I think this one is was lacking from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Well, so is that the telltale signs that a child may be hearing issues?
Yes. Well, some signs, there are no signs.
Yeah.
I mean, our kids 3 months after birth, they've got OM, you know, otitis media. It's silent.
Yes.
You can see. Sometimes you can, but most of the time you can't, especially with our newborns.
Mm. So what are some preventative measures that parents and carers can take to keep kids' ears healthy?
Hygiene. Wash your hands.
Yes.
Cleanliness. The house. Keep the houses clean. Overcrowding. It's the same old messages across
the
board.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
All right. Now, happy supporting health hearing for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Here in Australia, background. Give us a bit of background to Hearing Australia. Who is Hearing Australia?
Who is Hearing Australia? That's a good question.
Mm.
Well, for over 70 years, Hearing Australia has been helping Australia rediscover the joy of sound.
Yes.
Its purpose is to provide world-leading research and hearing services for the well-being of all Australians. Hearing Australia operates in around 166 permanent hearing centres as well as visiting sites across Australia and is the nation's largest provider of government-funded hearing services for children, young adults up to 26 and adults with complex communication needs. So for our mob, that means Hearing Australia is where we need to, if we've got a hearing issue or hearing, if you've got an issue, just come into a centre.
Sure.
I currently sit in Modbury.
Exactly. Yeah, it's about getting a yearly checkup on just on our body, on a health check, and then with that they do the hearing check as well, and that's important. If you feel as though something's going on there, attend to it, and especially if you've got young ones, we need to do our bit as parents too, my sister.
Yes, it's from that get-go. It's that initial, you know, all health check. We should have hearing.
Mm. Well, my sister's great hearing from you, partner punt. You stay happy. How do you like that, Paul Diddley?
Diddley happy and a happy program.
All right, Violet, all the best to you and your Diddley team there and your family. Stay safe and we'll yarn soon, my sister.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. A Diddley yarn there with Violet Buskin, and she's the Community Engagement Officer for Happy Program with Hearing Australia in South Australia. And look, Diddley have a yarn with her and looking after our young ones. And it's about doing our bit as parents and make sure that we are looking after our young ones and get the ear check yearly, as well as yourself. Make sure things are going good with yourself. I hope you're hearing me, you mob, too, Diddley. Have your say, yarn up strong here on National Talk Black. That Diddley number here is 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and come to you live from the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BB and Bumba Brit Midi, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National News Radio Service. Give the Murray a call. Let's have a yarn, you mob, 1-800-422-416.
Just call. as she blew through the door like TNT. Put her hand on her hip, point a finger at me. Said I'm a whiskey drinking cowboy chasing hell of a time. I like Kenny Keefe out of the Patsy Klein. I'm a full grown queen bee looking for honey. I'll play something country. Yeah, the band took a break. The DJ played P. Diddy. She said, I didn't come here to hear something from the city. Said, I shaved my legs, I paid my money. I'll play something country. I'll play something country. Break up the band, play the steel guitar. Hang it up a little, let's rock this bar. Threw back a shot, yelled, I'm a George Strait junkie. Ah-ooh, play something country. Ah-ooh, I'll play something country. Yeah, the bartender yelled, y'all, it's closing time. She got this wild look on her face and said, your trunk of mine. I know a place down the road, it's kind of funky. Ah-ooh, all out in the country. Ah-ooh, now play something country. Break up the band, play the steel guitar. Hang it up a little, let's rock this bar. Threw back a shot, yelled, I'm a George Strait junkie. Something country. I'll play something country. The steel guitar, get up a little, let's rock this bar. Threw back a shot, yelled, I'm a George Strait junkie. I'll play something country. Now play something country.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, it is National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob. 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call if you want to have your say. Otherwise, you can text a brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. We're going across the nation thanks to NERS, and based at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. It's BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. All right, going to catch up a yarn there. You've got Richard Weston online. He's from Snake, CEO. Snake calls on the Northern Territory government to take immediate action to protect our children in care. And we have Richard Weston on the line. Richard, very good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Trevor. How are you going?
I'm very good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So where are you based? Sorry, Richard?
Yeah, I'm with Snake, and I'm based in Melbourne.
All right, fantastic. So looking at the National Voice for Our Children urges the Northern Territory government to take swift action to address the systematic failures that have led to the continued abuse of Aboriginal and Torres Strait children in our out-of-home care. So we have a problem there with our kids being looked after in care.
Yeah, this is the report from the NT. The Office of the Children's Commissioner there completed an investigation recently into 12 Aboriginal kids that were in care between 2004 and 2018. And, they found that they were subject to abuse from the people that were supposed to care for them.
Supposed to care for them and look after them, and virtually in a way, dropped the ball, but put our children in a worse situation than there was, you could say.
That's exactly right. I mean, these kids go into, it's a child protection system.
Exactly.
For the protection of kids, but they're getting, these children have been subject to abuse and have, been harmed emotionally, physically and psychologically. And it's just, this day and age now, it's just unacceptable. And, the system, there are systemic failures here that cause this to happen, and they need to be addressed.
Are charges in place in regard to the culprits?
That's not clear. It seems that there haven't been charges brought, but I'm not sure about that. But it does say somewhere in the report that some of the people are still, still caring for kids. So that's very concerning. And, what we don't have enough of at the moment is oversight of the system and oversight of what's happening for our children in the system. We don't have enough Aboriginal people involved, enough community involved, and enough Aboriginal organisations, helping deliver these services. So it's a cocktail for our children becoming invisible in the system, and this is looks like what's happened here. And whilst it's good to uncover these systemic failures, it's a little bit it's too late. The harm's already been done.
Well, exactly.
And a big concern is that some of these people are supposed to be caring for our kids are still operating in the system. And, these are the sort of issues that, SNAG wants addressed through a National Children's Commission, which could provide the sort of oversight that we're talking about.
Well, also looking at the so-called the process that's in place, like I said, there's a hole in the bucket, so to speak, in regarding people who are signed on to take our kids and taking them care. And what's the profiles for those individuals or those families or those couples taking on our kids? I mean, what's the due process in regarding their background?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, how do these people who are supposed to care for children actually do more harm than good, and how do they get into that position in the first place? And that's one of the projects that Territory Families has been involved with, Tungandjia, an Aboriginal organisation in Alice, is to implement an Aboriginal-led kin care program, which is helping identify Aboriginal kin and Aboriginal carers to take the care of Aboriginal children who are in the system, and it's a really good project. It's been going for nearly 2 years, and it's showing some really good results. But we need more of that sort of thing that engages the community, to participate in the system and partner with departments to help, when kids have to be removed, that they can still be kept safe, they can maintain a connection to their community and their culture and their families, and they keep that connection to their identity, which is really important for their well-being.
Well, nothing beats black on black, Richard, and that's what we're looking for, So an opportunity for our black families and or black couples to put their hand up and look at the situation. So what about individuals like a single parent or a single person? Is that door open for them as well?
Well, I think it varies from state to state, jurisdiction to jurisdiction. But there are different models operating. Mm. But I think what's really important is that we have Aboriginal people as the carers who can take on these out of home care arrangements for Aboriginal kids.
Well, a lot of our elders would look at this situation as a 21st century stolen generation, is how we looked upon it,
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly what's happening. Our kids are being removed at record rates. And, one of the things that we've got to try and do is turn this around. And it starts with that engagement with community, engagement with Aboriginal organisations, Aboriginal, employing more Aboriginal people on the ground. Just some good systems in our communities to stop our kids from going into care in the first place or coming under the notice of authorities. So there's a lot of work to be done, but there's some good work being done. But as you say, I mean, you've got a great way with words, Trevor, black on black, and that's what we need.
Yeah, exactly.
We need
more
of our mob in the system working with our people, because we're the ones that care the most about our children.
Well, exactly. And so that should be front and centre in regarding engagement of our people dealing with our kids who got removed from home. And because the situation that's happening at home is not safe, or there's some unfinished business in regarding the so-called parents or adult to get themselves right. So while that's happening, let's look after our kids. But it's got to be black families, yes?
Yeah, that's right. That's what we want, you know. And it's a tricky system. It's not always easy being a foster parent.
Sure,
it's hard. And you know, we need more of those kinship carers, and we need to, you know, they need to be, you know, there need to be financial incentives for them to take on that care and take on that burden. And I don't know if the system's quite there yet, but you know, it's good to see this piece of work going on in the NT between, you know, the department and the community and an Aboriginal organisation. That's getting results, and you know, that's what we should invest more of. We want governments to invest in programs that are going to support our children if they do have to go into care, but supporting families to get right, as you said, you know, get themselves right so the kids can go back to the family.
Exactly, which is the end goal, isn't it?
Well, it should be. You know, it should be the last resort. Should be to remove a child from their family, and we should do everything we can to support families to keep their kids in the home, and, you know, keep their kids in their culture.
And Richard, if you look at it for foster parents, an opportunity, you know, with passion, with love, to guide a young people to a better future with a strong foundation. But it's also a career path in regard to a business move as well in finance, yes?
Well, I think it's I think there does need to be good incentives to, you know, to support people,
yes,
to take on that care, because they're often, foster carers are often have their own children as well. But, you know, that you know, they're opening up their home and, you know, as you say, opening up their hearts. They need to be supported with, you know, with training and other supports and financial supports. You know, that just helps keep that environment for the children safe and connected to, you know, their identity, who they are in the world.
Yes.
And, you know, keeps them safe until the family's ready to have them back. And, yeah, it's an important role, you know, foster carers and kinship carers in our communities, and we need more of our people being encouraged to step up to take on those roles.
Richard, a very important conversation. Thank you very much for sharing, and to our beautiful children out there, love and respect them. We need support in this area, and thank you for your conversation here on National Talk Black. And we'll yarn soon, Richard. All the best to you.
Thanks a lot, Trevor. Take care.
Bye-bye. That's Richard Weston, the CEO for SNAKE, Indigenous brother there, and working with the caring of our children. And it's very sad, but when kids are put in place, they're supposed to be in care, and there's been abuse happening with our kids being in care, so not very good at all. So do add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. We're live at First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbaribib Media, 98.7 FM. We've got Solon online. Solon, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, brother. Yeah, brother. Sometimes, you know, I really have a passion. I hope I don't choke on this one, brother. Not for this time, it's not going to be about a white British Australian, a British stock, or a black fella. Tribute that was in the Cairns Post, brother, the old fella, Bill Piccone, eh, brother?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Piccone does a lot for the community. Yes, big shout out to the family. Condolences.
And employed black fellas to brother, on Edmonton, eh, brother?
Yeah, exactly. Well, so they sponsor us here with the Edmonton Police Program. They give us a box of fruit, so they do a lot for the community. But the family's still strong and will continue their work with the community. Yes.
I'd like to read some of the brother. The man behind Piccone's RJ supermarket at Edmonton and Manure died on Thursday. He was involved in the community from a young age, and his contributions were not only to service but to philanthropy and behind the scene. His legacy will continue. And Division 1 Councillor Brett Morris said, "There are few people only say your life was richer for knowing them and being fortunate enough to be in the company that's accounting them. Luke Piconi, for me, is right up there, one of the truly great and special human beings." Councillor Morris said, he said to me, "When I first went into business many years ago, to be successful in business and in life, you support the community that supports you, brother."
Yes.
And he said, and in it that, Luke Piconi was born in Cairns in 1934 to our Italian parents. He immigrated to Australia in 1930. His father, addicted by trade, acquired a share in a bakery and a grocery shop at Edmonton. Soon after arriving in Australia, he studied engineering at Queensland University in Brisbane before returning to the far north. After World War II, the family business enterprise continued to grow and diversify. The management of the Piconi business enterprise was handed to Lou in 1957. Now in the hands of his son, Donald Peter. But instead then, Jesus may honor Mr. Piconi memory by donating to find more Queensland Hospital Foundation cancer care service. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Beautiful. Yeah, attitude of gratitude, Mr. Piconi, and let's say condolences to the family. A local man here who runs grocery stores for years and always done a lot for community, especially with the black community. So, yeah, have your say, Mob. Yarn up strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. For many people, paying for essential goods and services is a struggle, yet going without is worse. Without a fridge, you can't store fresh food. Without a computer, kids can be left behind at school. And if you can't afford the medical care you need, you can't get well. The No Interest Loan Scheme, NILS, offers people on low income safe, fair and affordable loans for fridges, washing machines and furniture, as well as education and medical expenses. Loans cannot be used for rent, arrears or bills. To be eligible for NILS, you must have a health care or pension card. Earn under $45,000, $60,000 for joint applicants or people with children. And you must be able to repay the loan. NILS is based on trust and respect.
To inquire about NILS loans, call Shaq in Cairns on 4080 7400. That's 4080 7400. Shaq is a local NILS provider for Good Shepherd Microfinance.
Station sponsor.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, BBM Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yes, COVID-19 has put a dampen on a few things and turned the world upside down, but it's about being flexible, adapting to the environment we're living in. Well, in regard to NAIDOC, a celebration this year as First Nation people in 2020, National NAIDOC Committee member, I'm going to have a yarn with now with Brother Kenny Bedford on the line. Kenny, good morning. How are you, bro?
Good morning, my brother. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, you too, as always, my brother. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob. Where are you from, Kenny?
I'm of the Mayram tribe, part of Erub.
Yes.
In the northeast of Torres Strait.
Connection there, my brother. Thank you very much. Now, with NAIDOC celebrating 2020, it was July, has been moved to 8-15 November. Can you tell us about the discussion, how it all came about, and thanks to COVID-19?
No worries. I just want to send out my respect and acknowledgement to the Gimoi Nation.
Yes.
Where you and I are talking from today, give my respect to the elders and traditional owners of this beautiful part of the world. My brother, as you were saying there before, COVID-19 has put a dampener on a lot of events across the country.
Yes.
That includes NAIDOC Week, and quite early in the piece, the NAIDOC committee announced that they would be postponing. Particularly the National NAIDOC Awards, but also reconsidering when NAIDOC might happen, and that announcement happened more recently. But, for the obvious reason, because of the impact that coronavirus and COVID-19 has had on our communities, And that uncertainty, we moved the dates for the National Land Award in particular, but also to provide that alternative time for families and communities to celebrate our survival and existence.
The world we're living in at the moment, COVID-19, we will still celebrate us mob as First Nation people in this country, and we're just moving the dates. That's all we're doing, eh, my brother?
And that's only for this year for now, and it'll be interesting, different time of year. It'll be hot, a lot hotter for a lot of people. So we'll see how it goes, but hopefully this is just a one-off.
Yes.
We can go back to that regular annual event happening in early July.
Yeah, and when you look at the world we're living at the moment regarding, the black deaths in custody, you know, with respect to brother George Floyd in America, lost his life, 437-odd deaths here in this country, the world is upside down, and it makes it all the more for our celebration of NAIDOC, and we use it as a tool in regard to letting government know, non-Indigenous people know that we are still here and we are still fighting for our survival, yes?
That's right, and you know, NAIDOC's about remembering, but more so and more as we go forward, it's about celebrating our survival, and that theme always was and always will be, was very much designed for what was going to be a different year, including the celebration of someone we discovered 250 years ago.
Yeah. Exactly. And look, it's a powerful movement, and we get excited about it every year. The date has been changed, and we will still celebrate strong. My brother, thank you very much for sharing with us, and all the best to the National NAIDOC Committee members doing a fantastic job. And Kenny, thank you for sharing, my brother.
All the best to all the families and communities out there preparing for NAIDOC Week, wherever they are. And thank you and Bummer Bripper for your deadly work, and to all those people out there across the country in national radio, providing a voice for people and information to our mob.
Strong words, my brother. Thank you very much. You take care, my brother. Stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
That's all, Deadly.
Yawa, Bala. That's Kenny Burford there, National NAIDOC Committee member, and we're just talking about the date that has been changed for our celebration this year, has moved to the week of 8-15 November, so lock that in your diary, you mob, and we will celebrate strong regarding NAIDOC 2020, and the theme always was, always will be, and there it is, two deadly beautiful yarn there, and this is your deadly program, you mob, National Talk Black, have your saying, yarn up strong, add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416, call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nakuri, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BB and Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Too deadly, mob. Now we're going to catch up with we've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. I'm having a day off today. I had a busy 3 days.
Yes. So relaxing at home, are you, mate?
I can't relax, mate.
You need to relax, brother.
I'm trying that today, but on Friday, I went to the march, okay?
Yes. Yes. Not and big numbers, but very powerful in regard to your gathering, you know?
Anyway, I went to the march there, and I waited till last and got up and said a few things.
Good.
I don't know. Yeah. I think the most important thing I said, because it was on Cairns Council ground, is that do the ratepayers know that they funded the takeover of the native title in Goldsborough, which sort of wiped it out. And I don't think that the Cairns residents know that. You know, they think, oh, they got native title, but they don't know there's an ilua put on top of it. So people... Anyway, another day. Mm. And that was the march on Friday. But I went... And I was really happy. Sorry, Selwyn. I was really happy to meet Selwyn and his lovely family.
Oh, good. Did you catch up? Was that the first time you guys met?
Hey?
Was that the first time you guys met?
Well, he was at the march at the Cairns Post about 20 years ago, and we went there, and Donna went there, and I sort of didn't know him, but he recognised me and come and grab hold of me. The poor fella, he lost his voice that day.
Okay.
He couldn't talk, you know, you go there and you meet somebody, and he said, oh, he couldn't, and I felt sorry for him, and I'm feeling sorry for myself with the funeral thing.
Yeah.
And so on Saturday, the Gordonvale Market had their market day on, and I thought, well, I've been putting some posters, that newspaper clipping about the grieving husband in,
yes,
plus I added a bit more onto it, and I got up at 4 in the morning. I put them up the day before, and then the council, I don't know who, they went and took them all down. So I got up around about 4 o'clock in the morning like a Godaichi, and I seeded the park. I put them everywhere, all over the park, and on Travis Pitt's office, and on Brett Muller's office, and in the telephone. And I went everywhere, and I put these posters up and stuck them up. And then I went to the market, because I knew there was a lot of people there, because this, I've got no satisfaction to be buried next to my wife.
Mm.
That processed, and I plastered them all over the car, and I sat there. And people come and talk to me, and they were saying, well, you should get a petition, and I should do this, and anyway.
So people did come to you and converse with you about the situation?
Oh, yes, yes, good, because good. There's a lot of people disturbed, because, you know, the council says, oh, they're doing this all over the country, you know, and you can't pay for your grave outright. Mm. And so I confessed, and that's where that saying comes from, I think. And, you know, it would make people turn over in their grave. Well, it's making me turn over and I'm alive. And yeah. I'm not going to give up on this. So anyway that's ongoing. And the third day, I thought Palm Cove have their markets on too. So I went to that market, and I couldn't believe the throngs of crowds. It was so packed, because Donna used to sit there and sell out in the truck, you know. And locals come along and recognise me, and I didn't protest or nothing. I just went there and I put art out. But I didn't join the market, because people like to talk, and so I sat up where me and Donna used to sit.
Yeah.
And some people come along and they like the art, and I just had a day out, and it was blowing a gale. It was blowing. So I had three really, really busy days.
Yes.
And
out the bill. Yeah,
and I just had to get out of the house and do some stuff. But this week, and I also put up in Gordonvale the Declaration of Peace for the 10th Embassy in the front page of the Yarn in Northern Notice Board.
Yep.
And I am going to make the second Yarn, because I can't, if you can't get the press, you have to make your own, like Walsing Matilda, I figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing any harm, I'm doing all the right things, and I'm saying I'm going to do a paper and stuff, and I'm doing it, mate.
Yes.
And I still would like the station to consider playing Donna's tape, mate. It seems to be an uphill battle with you, fella, and I don't know why, because it's such an important soundtrack.
Sure, yeah, and yeah.
Grassroots, local. I'm trying to keep the show local and things, and I want Donna's voice heard, and there's a lot of other family that would like to hear that. So I'm not begging, but I'm asking you, can you...
Sure, no, I hear you, my brother. I hear you, yep. And it's behind the scenes, they're looking at it, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we can make it happen, brother.
That would make a difference to this community when they can hear my message's voice. And both of us have been tortured all our life. I'm still being tortured until I know that grave next to her is mine.
Mm, exactly. No, okay, brother, I'm hearing you.
And thank you, Selwyn. Thank you. We'll meet again on a better day when we can both talk and, you know. But the march was good. Some of us turned out and it thinned out. And I was happy to run down the Cairns Council for what they did to Goldsborough.
Yep.
And the lawless place it's become.
Freedom of speech, they call it, brother. Freedom of speech.
Yeah, well, you know, I shouldn't be doing all this. I'm in mourning here, and but you just can't give up. You know, never give up. That's that Hope song, you know.
Mm.
Shaggy. All right, thank you, Trevor.
No, all the best, Tony. Thank you very much. You take care, brother. That's our Tony Gibbs there, caller from Gordonvale, adding to the conversation. Here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Murray going to sign off for you, Mobbo. Thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow with that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother, 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page, Royal BBM 987 FM. Check out all our podcasts, all our yarns, all our photos. And it is a voice for our people, your mob, National Talk Black. And I thank you very much for your company. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. COVID-19 is still upon us, so we need to not be complacent. Do what you need to do. Wash your hands, 1.5 metres, all the above, and we'll get through this. Too deadly.
Just let me hear some of that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me, if you wanna dance with me, I've got no kick against modern jazz, unless they try to play it too damn fast and change the beauty of the melody until they sound just like a symphony. That's why I go for that rock. My loved one over across the tracks, so she could hear my man a wail of sax. I must admit they had a rockin' band. Man, they were going like a hurricane. That's why I go for that.